Kindling by Raymond Carver. It was the middle of August, and Myers was between lives. The only thing different about this time from the other times was that this time he was sober. He'd just spent 28 days at a drying out facility. But during this period, his wife took it into her head to go down the road with another drunk, a friend of theirs. The man had recently come into some money and had just been talking about buying into a bar and restaurant in the eastern part of the state. Myers called his wife, but she hung up on him. She wouldn't even talk to him, let alone have him anywhere near the house. She had a lawyer and a restraining order. So he took a few things, boarded a bus, and went to live near the ocean in a room in a house owned by a man named Saul, who had run an ad in the paper. Saul was wearing jeans and a red t-shirt when he opened the door. It was about 10 o'clock at night, and Myers had just gotten out of a cab. Under the porch light, Myers could see that Saul's right arm was shorter than his other arm, and the hand and fingers of the right arm were withered. He didn't offer either his good left hand or his withered hand for Myers to shake, and this was fine with Myers. Myers felt plenty rattled as it was. "You just called, right?" Saul said. "You're here to see the room. Come on in." Myers gripped his suitcase and stepped inside. "This is my wife. This is Bonnie," Saul said. Bonnie was watching TV, but she moved her eyes to see who it was coming inside. She muted the TV with the remote, then turned it off altogether. Then she got up off the sofa onto her feet. She was a fat girl. She was fat all over, and she huffed when she breathed. "I'm sorry it's so late," Maya said. "Nice to meet you." "It's all right," Bonnie said. "Did my husband tell you on the phone what we're asking?" Myers nodded. He was still holding the suitcase. "Well, this is the living room," Saul said, "as you can see for yourself." He shook his head and brought the fingers of his good hand up to his chin. "I may as well tell you that we're new at this. We never rented a room to anybody before. But it's just back there not being used. And we thought, what the hell? A person can always use a little extra." "I don't blame you a bit," Myers said. "Where are you from?" Bonnie said. "You're not from anywhere around town." "My wife wants to be a writer," Saul said. "Who, what, where, why, and how much?" "I just got here," Myers said. He moved the suitcase to his other hand. "I got off the bus about an hour ago, read your ad in the paper, and called up." "What sort of work do you do?" Bonnie wanted to know. "I've done everything," Myers said. He set the suitcase down and opened and closed his fingers. Then he picked up the suitcase again. Bonnie didn't pursue it. Saul didn't either, though Myers could see he was curious. Myers took in a photograph of Elvis Presley on top of the TV. Elvis's signature ran across the breast of his white sequined jacket. He moved a step closer. "The King," Bonnie said. Myers nodded, but didn't say anything. Alongside the picture of Elvis was a wedding picture of Saul and Bonnie. In the picture, Saul was dressed up in a suit and tie. Saul's good, strong left arm reached around Bonnie's waist as far as it would go. Saul's right hand and Bonnie's right arm were joined over Saul's belt buckle. Bonnie wasn't going anywhere if Saul had anything to say about it. Bonnie didn't mind. In the picture, Bonnie wore a hat and was all smiles. "I love her," Saul said, as if Myers had said something to the contrary. "How about that room you were going to show me?" Myers said. "I knew there was something we were forgetting," Saul said. They moved out of the living room into the kitchen, Saul first, then Myers carrying his suitcase, then Bonnie. They passed through the kitchen and turned left just before the back door. There were some open cupboards along the wall and a washer and dryer. Sol opened a door at the end of the little corridor and turned on the light in the bathroom. Bonnie moved up and huffed and said, "This is your private bathroom. The door in the kitchen is your own entrance." Sol opened the door to the other side of the bathroom and turned on another light. "This is the room," Sol said. "I made up the bed with clean sheets," Bonnie said. "But if you take the room, you'll have to be responsible from here on out." "Like my wife says, this is not a hotel," Sol said. "But you're welcome if you want to stay." There was a double bed against one wall, along with a nightstand and lamp, a chest of drawers, and a pinochle table with a metal chair. A big window gave out onto the backyard. Myers put his suitcase on the bed and moved to the window. He raised the shade and looked out. A moon rode high in the sky. In the distance, he could see a forested valley and mountain peaks. Was it his imagination, or did he hear a stream or a river? "I hear water," Myers said. "That's a little Cuisine River you hear," Sol said. "That river has the fastest perfect drop to it of any river in the country." "Well, what do you think?" Bonnie said. She went over and turned down the covers on the bed, and this simple gesture almost caused Myers to weep. "I'll take it," Myers said. "I'm glad," Sol said. "My wife's glad too, I can tell. I'll have them put that ad out of the paper tomorrow. You want to move in right now, don't you?" "That's what I hoped," Maya said. "We'll let you get settled," Bonnie said. "I gave you two pillows and there's an extra quilt in that closet." Myers could only nod. "Well, good night," Sol said. "Good night," Bonnie said. "Good night," Maya said, "and thank you." Sol and Bonnie went through his bathroom and into the kitchen. They closed the door, but not before Myers heard Bonnie say, "He seems okay." "Pretty quiet," Sol said. "I think I'll fix buttered popcorn." "I'll eat some with you," Sol said. Pretty soon, Myers heard the TV come on again in the living room, but it was a very faint sound and he didn't think it would bother him. He opened the window all the way and heard the sound of the river as it raced through the valley on its way to the ocean.